Blog Talk Radio.
Senator Hatfield, Mr. Chief Justice, Mr. President, Vice President Bush, Vice President Mondale, Senator Baker, Speaker O'Neill, Reverend Mumaw, and my fellow citizens. To a few of us here today, this is a solemn and most momentous occasion. And yet in the history of our nation, it is a commonplace occurrence. The orderly transfer of authority as called for in the Constitution routinely takes place as it has for almost two centuries, and few of us stop to think how unique we really are. In the eyes of many in the world, this every four-year ceremony we accept as normal is nothing less than a miracle. Mr. President, I want our fellow citizens to know how much you did to carry on this tradition. By your gracious cooperation in the transition process, you have shown a watching world that we are a united people, pledged to maintaining a political system which guarantees individual liberty to a greater degree than any other. And I thank you and your people for all your help in maintaining the continuity which is the bulwark of our republic. We must act today in order to preserve tomorrow. And let there be no misunderstanding. We are going to begin to act beginning today. The economic ills we suffer have come upon us over several decades. They will not go away in days, weeks, or months, but they will go away. They will go away because we, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom. In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. From time to time, we've been tempted to believe that society has become too complex to be managed by self-rule, that government by an elite group is superior to government for, by, and of the people. Well, if no one among us is capable of governing himself, then who among us has the capacity to govern someone else? All of us together, in and out of government, must bear the burden. The solutions we seek must be equitable, with no one group singled out to pay a higher price. We hear much of special interest groups. Well, our concern must be for a special interest group that has been too long neglected. It knows no sectional boundaries or ethnic and racial divisions, and it crosses political party lines. It is made up of men and women who raise our food, patrol our streets, man our mines and factories, teach our children, keep our homes, and heal us when we're sick. Professionals, industrialists, shopkeepers, clerks, cabbies, and truck drivers. They are, in short, we the people. This breed called Americans. Well, this administration's objective will be a healthy, vigorous, growing economy that provides equal opportunities for all Americans with no barriers born of bigotry or discrimination. Putting America back to work means putting all Americans back to work. Ending inflation means freeing all Americans from the terror of runaway living costs. All must share in the productive work of this new beginning, and all must share in the bounty of a revived economy. With the idealism and fair play which are the core of our system and our strength, we can have a strong and prosperous America at peace with itself and the world. So as we begin, let us take inventory. We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around. and this makes us special among the nations of the earth. Our government has no power except that granted it by the people. It is time to check and reverse the growth of government, which shows signs of having grown beyond the consent of the governed. It is my intention to curb the size and influence of the federal establishment and to demand recognition of the distinction between the powers granted to the federal government and those reserved to the states or to the people. It is time for us to realize that we are too great a nation to limit ourselves to small dreams. We're not, as some would have us believe, doomed to an inevitable decline. I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing. So with all the creative energy at our command, let us begin an era of national renewal. Let us renew our determination, our courage, and our strength. And let us renew our faith and our hope. We have every right to dream heroic dreams. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. You can see heroes every day going in and out of factory gates. Others, a handful in number, produce enough food to feed all of us and then the world beyond. You meet heroes across a counter, and they're on both sides of that counter. There are entrepreneurs with faith in themselves and faith in an idea who create new jobs, new wealth, and opportunity. There are individuals and families who take taxes, support the government, and whose voluntary gifts support church, charity, culture, art, and education. Their patriotism is quiet but deep. Their values sustain our national life. Now, I have used the words they and their in speaking of these heroes. I could say you and your, because I'm addressing the heroes of whom I speak, you, the citizens of this blessed land. Your dreams, your hopes, your goals are going to be the dreams, the hopes, and the goals of this administration, so help me God. It does require, however, our best effort and our willingness to believe in ourselves and to believe in our capacity to perform great deeds. To believe that together, with God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. God bless you and thank you. Thank you very much.
I must apologize for not being here to greet you personally.
Oh, but I'm here. Hello, how we doing?
Hey,
hello.
We here too. Hey, we here.
Yeah,
too.
I actually did make it here. I was apologizing here for a minute because I thought I'd be delayed, but I'm here. This is Andy Kimball, and we have Amanda Love over in the UK. We've got Cornell, our show coordinator in Hollywood. This is the Andy and Amanda program, show number, you know, I forget, 180-something or other. I don't know. Anyway, it's great to be back with you live again from Hollywood, California, and from the United Kingdom. And
yeah,
it is Amanda Love that you heard with that sexy voice across the pond.
And, thank you.
Yeah.
And be sitting here with a voice you probably don't want to hear in California. I don't blame you at all. So, you know, we have a new – I mean, it's going to be – you know, come January 20th,
a new political regime is planned.
Yes, it is. A new political. Yes, it truly is. It's going to be, you know, January 20th. Can't come soon enough. You know, the House Democrats introduced. We knew that it was coming today. An article of impeachment against Trump. And, of course, we know that the article of impeachment is going to be charging Trump with inciting violence against the government of the United States of America.
Wow.
And, yeah, the Republicans also blocked today a measure that called on the Vice President, Mike Pence, to strip Mr. Trump of power under the 25th Amendment. But Pence is on standby in case Trump does any other, you know, uncentered, irregular, unstable, you know, things that he shouldn't be doing in his last few days. Pence is there. Trump will go down in history as the only president in the history of the United States ever to be impeached twice. And you know, what more, you know? And there are those, it's, you know, Trump. They don't say America, America. They say USA, I guess. I heard them say USA. But basically, it's not about America. It's not about USA. It's about Donald Trump. For whatever it is, almost like I was posting on somebody's very conservative, right-wing extremist page on Facebook that it seems like the for short of a better word, infatuation with Donald Trump is almost like what you would have experienced or seen or witnessed, however you want to put that, in a cult, cult followers, admiring their cult leader, you know, drink the poison, jump off the cliff, whatever it might be, whatever he says you do. And there's a psychological process.
Something like Jim Jones, huh?
Waco, Texas. I was going to say, remember Jim Jones? And, I think – I don't know if I remember telling this before, speaking of Jim Jones, but I was producing concerts back in late 70s, and my production manager, his name was Jim Jones at the time when this was all going on, and I'd have to introduce the people who – the concerts. Well, who's your – you know, who do we talk to? Who do we talk to about the, all the production requirements for the Kinks concert? I'd say, Jim Jones. Who? Oh, I'm sorry. It's not the same guy because this is a live – this is live back then. Yeah. But anyway, but that's what you wouldn't believe. That came up all the time, and Jim and I would be sitting up there in the Astor Theater in Reading, Pennsylvania, doing what concert promoters did back then when we weren't producing concerts. Anyway, you can guess what that was. Anyway, and it wasn't having sex.
Yeah, I believe you, Andy. I believe you.
Producing babies.
Oh man, I had an interesting. I got lost over the weekend. I was driving around. I got totally lost. I didn't know where I was. I had to say to myself,
"This is not Kleinenberg."
I realized it wasn't
really?
Very quickly. It certainly was not. It was not Kleinenberg. It didn't even look like Pasadena. I didn't know where I was. But thank God for GPS, I found my way back here to our Coast to Coast studios. Was able to put together some resemblance of a program. Hey, we have a special show today in some respects. I'm not only going to be talking about the news, but we're going to be playing today's a double. What's it called? Double block.
Double Monday.
Shot. Double shot. Thank you, Amanda.
Double shot.
Right. We're playing two tunes by Amanda Love today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Twinkle,
thank you.
Twinkle Little Star and Mary Had a Little Lamb. She does such a great job on the show. Couldn't believe how this girl can be like nobody else I've ever heard. You know? Hey, listen, guys, getting back to the show intro. Ronald Reagan, 81, I'm thinking something like that. 81? Yes. What a speech. That was his inaugural address. And did you hear the beginning of that and how he addressed Jimmy Carter, the outgoing president?
Stunning.
And I was, and I've talked to Cornell about finding that speech for months now. I think, you know, for a long time. And Cornell would text me because I'd be telling him to remind me to find that speech. And he would. And I just, you know, didn't get to it. So as typical. Andy Kimball. Anyway,
only about a year later, Andy. That's all. at least you got to it.
I got to
it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So what is what I found? And I was just going to play the intro. What I was telling Cornell, I was going to do just play that beginning where he complimented and you know that transition from one president to the next and how he addressed Jimmy Carter, who was sitting right behind him. He was just such a gentleman, Ronald Reagan. I probably did not vote for him at the time. I'm sure I didn't. But you look back now and you listen to that man speak. and he was an actor, he was a communicator, and he knew how to do this, of course. But given all that, wow. And God, wouldn't it be something to play? Hey, Cornell, remind me to do this. To play some Ronald Reagan speech excerpts coinciding with Donald Trump's speech, like back-to-back, like we do on this show.
Okay, no problem.
Send me a text to put that together. Wow. That should be fun.
Okay.
We will all sit back and have some laughs.
Awesome, that,
I mean, tragic laughs, but there will be laughs. I'm going to put that together. That should be pretty cool. Amanda, how are you doing, love? Girlfriend, how's it going over there in the UK?
Well, I think it's just as chaotic here, sweetheart, as it is over there. I mean, obviously, without such levels of violence. So today, the government have pleaded with the public on following the COVID rules, as we are now hit the worst point of the pandemic. Like, it could not get any worse right now. So in terms of the vaccination, so far we have had 2.3 million people vaccinated with the first dose. A plan was in place to vaccinate all 32 million people in the UK's priority groups, which was expected to take until spring to do this. So the NHS England's National Medical Director, Professor Stephen Powers, said that the NHS was aiming to offer everyone vaccinations by autumn. So we shall see how quickly that pans out. A couple of large chain supermarket stores are also banning people from shopping in their stores who do not wear a mask, which I know there are places in the US that have already been doing this way back, I think, I think everybody was experiencing the first lockdown. So you were not being able to enter into the stores if you refuse to wear a mask that the staff will offer you, unless you are medically exempt. But, you know, these supermarkets have been keeping to the guidelines. They've been really good at following government rules and guidelines and keeping every. But I have noticed that when I've been out shopping, the amount of people that haven't been wearing masks in the store, and I look at them thinking, wow, are really all these people medically exempt? And why aren't the staff even challenging them about it? But, you know, so they're going to be employing security guards at the entrances to make sure, who are trained for this, obviously, to make sure that these tasks are carried out. So hopefully that breaks down on the spread even further. But basically, guys, that is it in terms of the COVID. Everything else has literally been based on the US news covering everything to do with, I think it was like 15,000 National Guard troops, they were saying, could be made available over there. Because of the reports of the armed groups planning to gather at all 50 state capitals. Is that right?
Yeah,
and in Washington, D.C.?
That's very true.
Yeah. So
that's
basically
accurate.
The UK news is full of that at the moment, covering all of that. And what you said about Biden earlier with the impeachment against Trump, that's being covered as well. That's the hot topic over here at the moment, boys, COVID and the U.S.
Yeah, it's covering, you know, I took a look at some of the headlines from newspapers around the world and the pictures and the headlines. And now they're showing videos and taking still shots from those videos of police officers being beaten up over the head with flagpoles, with fire extinguishers, dragged downstairs.
Oh, my goodness.
Police officers are being crushed. I think we showed this one on our Facebook page, if I'm mistaking, a police officer being crushed between doors by angry domestic terrorist thug rioters incited by the President of the United States. Unbelievable. And it's going to take some time. I mean, Biden's going to be president. You know, there's some people who still think he won't be. That somehow that Trump is going to pull some kind of miraculous abracadabra thing out of the air and postpone the inaugural ceremony of the new president until March, if then. And there are also some that think that Trump, to this day, there are people who sincerely believe that. And here's the interesting thing. This is very interesting, and I commented this too online, in various groups and pages which I've become active in, trying to present integrity, trying to present the truth, trying to present the real world, is that it seems to me, and I'm not making any judgment by saying this, so don't take this the wrong way. And I've said this on the show, I am a devout atheist. I do not believe in God. I don't believe in a power. It's just something else. And I'm proud to admit that. That's my own feeling. That's where I come from. That's how I believe.
Which you're entitled to, Andy.
and I'm entitled to that. And we can talk, you know, this, you know, right? Okay. So, and I commend, by the way, while I'm on that just for a minute, I commend wholeheartedly, a heartfelt commending of people who have that to lean on, who have that in their life, who can go to the outside and say, there's a stronger power, and that's what's going to help me, and that's what's going to make my loved one get better, and that's, you know, that must be, to think that after you die, you keep living. That must be an amazing thing to sincerely believe, and I commend those who have that. I do not, you know, I think, you know, otherwise. Anyway, going on with what I was about to say is this, that that it seems to me, and as I read, and I do a lot of that, a lot of these posts, that people who are really, you know, Trump is going to do this thing, Trump is going to pull this out, they associate that and attach that with Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, is going to make this happen, that Trump is in God's hands, God's going to see this through. And you see that the two are synonymous, like, throughout. And I'm trying to say that's not true, but I got to look at what is, and I look at all the – these are just by post. This isn't any newspaper. These are just go on Facebook and go on Here We Go, go on Jay Sekulow Live, go on. I can give you different Facebook pages so you can see this for yourself and see what people are saying. And I read the same things that you can and probably have, some of you, that it just seems that there's an awful lot of people who are saying that, you know, God is going to – you know, God is going to make this – happen, and God is going to see to it that the, you know, the evil, the Democrats and the evil are not going to get anywhere, and you know, Trump is in God's hands. And then I would say something like this: the reality of the world is that Biden's going to become the 46th president of the United States. So if God in fact is directing this entire thing, couldn't we also correctly state that God is also, if this were to be possible, it's not obviously, if God were to be able to do what you say, and that is God is actually directing the entire election, God is directing this entire process, the aftermath of the election, that Trump is in God's hands, and God's going to put Trump back in office, which he's not going to do. He's putting Biden back in office. So couldn't we say then that it's actually Biden that's in God's hands, if what you're saying is true, because the real world is saying that Trump, not only is he not going to be put back in office, whatever you call it, he's going to be impeached and very well might face criminal charges after he's out of office. If not criminal charges, at least civil charges by the U.S. Attorney, the Lower District of New York, in tax evasion and money laundering charges.
Yeah.
And that's civil right now. It is not criminal. It's civil, but if it reaches a certain point, it could be criminal, and that he can't pardon that. He can't pardon himself in New York. He can try. It ain't going to happen. But anyway. So what do you,
Amanda,
help me digest this? From what I just said. So somebody says God is going to put Trump back in office. This is all in God's hands. But in fact, Biden's going to be in office. So if what they're saying is that God is directing this, then isn't God also responsible for the right thing to be done here? And that is that Biden actually truthfully won this election, and God is doing the right thing by saying to it that he gets sworn in?
Well, this is a common problem within religion and spirituality, because the two don't always go hand in hand. You can be a religious person, but you can lack spirituality. And you can be a spiritual person that lacks religion. And the whole purpose of religion is to explain everything that came before us. And, you know, it's a tale handed down from one person to another, like Chinese whispers that eventually, you know, got altered along the way. But, you know, it's been known that these things can have elements of truth when they're studied against real world experiences and historical events that have happened. However, what a lot of these people tend to do, and I'm not attacking anyone in any way, is they get lost in the religion of it all, but not in their own spirituality, which is connecting with that something that they feel is deeper within them that is actually going to give them some sort of answer, as opposed to you know, preaching all these specific things that God, they claim to know God so tremendously well, but they don't know themselves. So I believe that you can't know God until you really know yourself. Because supposedly, you know, taking an example from the Bible that, you know, man is made in God's image. So how could you possibly know God unless you know yourself? So
right.
These people are claiming to know God, okay? And they're going around and they're preaching all these things that are saying, you know, God's going to do this, God's going to do that, he's going to be the threat and he's going to be the power and he's going to decide who's doing what. Okay, if that is true, then yes, Biden is a big part of this. He is meant to get in. He is meant to have this experience to lead government in a different direction for maybe something else to happen along the line. But I think there's a real arrogance and that danger in that arrogance when we go around claiming these things. It can be very dangerous to claim, you know, these destructive comments taking, you know, God's name and throwing it out there like that. I think people have to be very careful as to what they express. And it, not only that, they're instilling fear into people using this. And that's the reason a lot of people turn away from God and religion. It's simply because it's used in such a manner that people have taken it into their own egos and used it for their own purpose, their own advantage, to get people on board with what they agree with, what they perceive, what they believe to be true.
And then they contradict themselves.
Yes, they contradict themselves all the time. That is absolutely right, Connor. And I think that's the problem. People don't find the spirituality within that religion. So I think, you know, you've really got to face yourself in times like this before you go around attacking and saying, you know, God's doing this and God's doing that. I do believe there is truth in certain things. Sure, absolutely. I'm open-minded, always have been. I'm open-minded to the whole atheist thing, you know. Everybody has their own beliefs. Everybody has their own reasons.
Right.
So that is my spin on it, Andy.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that insight, and so do our listeners. Absolutely. That's right. This is the Andy and Amanda Show. Our number here is 515-605-9888. We are going to open up the phone lines soon. Bear with us here. And what we're going to do, I think, is play, I don't know, a song maybe? You know, let me see. Hold on here. I got to go away just for a second. Hold on. Wait a minute.
I have to go out, and I will not be back until after sundown tomorrow.
Yes. Well, I'll let the show is over. Good night.
I was going to add that, you know what, before I forget, that I think one of the basic fundamental aspects and assets of the religious community, regardless of what religion it is the element of community organization. Churches, synagogues, places of worship are so involved in grouping the community and putting programs together and helping those in need, in establishing places where like-minded people can meet and discuss and worship who they want to and benefit the world and hand out food and provide shelter and give guidance. I remember a while back, I've done this a few times in different ways, but I remember walking one time in West Philadelphia near Penn Cornell, not far from where you were from there, in West Philadelphia. I was walking down walking down the street, and a guy asked me, a guy living on the street, he asked me if I could give him some money for food. And I looked at him, and I happened to be like in a half a block of a McDonald's. I said, no, I'm not going to give you money for food. But here's what I'm going to do. Let's go get you lunch. And I took the guy into McDonald's with me. And he could not have walked up to the counter looking like he did and been served and smelling like he did. You know, he probably could not have. But we went to McDonald's. We sat down, and I talked about his life and his background and how he got to where he is and cared about him and showed him concern and showed him empathy. And he, in turn, just buying him a hamburger and fries and a shake and whatever it was I got him, you'd think that I just gave – he won unless he wants to be a millionaire. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Right?
And, he was just so grateful. And it wasn't because – I talk about that from time to time, and you know, that's an act of religion. It's a god. It's an act of Andy Kimball, and I'm like, you don't need God to be good to one another and to say how can I help one another instead of how can I help how can I hurt you? I can say, how can I help you? Instead of trying to steal the pocketbook of the lady crossing the street, what would happen if you helped her cross the street? How would the world be a better place? Of course, that's pretty idealistic thinking. But at the same time, the empowerment and the feeling of what you gain when you help somebody versus when you hurt somebody is priceless.
It's stunning. It really is stunning. I've had the blessing of helping people with many good deeds, and I always come away from it feeling renewed. And it's a feeling unlike anything else, and it's beautiful. And I tend to thrive off that so much, which makes me want to do more. And that's the best feeling. If you can keep that going, and oh wow, amazing! I love it, Andy. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that.
Yes.
I've done that several times before. Especially, you know, it's priceless. Except when somebody gets one of these.
Dear Mainland, aloha. My brother and I know all about your to-do list, but have you also considered making a to-don't list? Like, don't forget hang time with your ohana. Don't forget to step outside every now and then. And don't forget the big wave golden ale. So maybe you make a to-don't list today, yeah?
Put it on your to-do list.
Good one, brother. One life, right? Mahalo. Longboard Island Lager and Big Wave Golden Ale from Kona Brewing.
Yeah, I can sit down with you, Andy.
Absolutely.
You can sit down with me with that. I'll tell you my whole life story. I'll tell you how I got there after I drank it.
We all know that Pence and Trump have not spoken. Actually, they spoke today, but we do have a recording of what Trump was thinking and what he said about Pence after Pence failed to. Let me back up a little bit. During the speech, if you want to call it that, the incitement speech that Trump gave in Washington last Wednesday prior to the march to the Capitol, he said that all Mike Pence has to do is take the ballots, the electoral ballots, and send them back to the states and have them recertify, then we have won the election, and boy, are you people happy. That's almost quote.
Wow.
We have won the election. And Pence obviously did not do that. Actually, he couldn't do it. But anyway, he didn't do it. And we have a clip here of what Trump was saying about Pence right after.
They have destroyed my servant.
Yes, only on the Andy and Amanda show will you get, you know, what's really going on in the world and what people are really saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we're gonna So we'll play some music here, I think, because I think we need a tune or two to get by. Then we're going to open up the phone lines. I know Chet's been patiently waiting to join us. Hey, Chet, we're going to be right with you. We're going to get you on the show. And we're going to play some music first. What do you feel like hearing? Any requests?
Amanda.
Thank you. Thank you, Andy.
You got thank you twice.
Amanda, how would you because you know you've been doing your show for a while now. We mentioned from time to time about your talent and talked about your music, and of course we know Chet's been on the show a lot, and I know people, if I don't know that, normally my living is made by not doing this by any means, but I should be on the road right now playing shows, and I'm not doing that. But we all know that we're musicians, and also Cornell is a very competent percussionist and drummer as well. We're all musicians, folks. That's who we are. But Amanda, how would you? We're going to give you a appropriate and well deserved introduction before we play your music. How would you describe yourself? Don't be shy. How would you describe your how would you describe yourself musically? I would describe you in such an amazing way that it's probably not even appropriate for the show. But you go.
Especially I'm intrigued when you're on your own, that Andy. I'm intrigued. how I describe myself? I'm somebody who tries to create and capture whatever I feel in the moment. And sometimes I get these little stories pop up in my mind of how I want a song to go, what kind of story I want to tell. Sometimes they're based on life experiences. sometimes I'm able to place myself into an experience without actually living it and write about it. And over the years, many people have come to me and said, how the hell do you write like that? And I've said, I don't know. I've just always had the ability to think of a situation, an experience, an emotional experience, place myself within it and write about it. And people have responded and said, wow, that, you know, you've hit the nail on the head. Going back many years ago, I wrote a song about a soldier in war. And when I shared the lyrics with a friend of mine who had a really close friend who'd just come out of the forces, she sent them the song and the guy broke down in tears and said, it's like she's read my every thought. And so that was quite a powerful moment for me. And it clarified that I was doing the right thing. So I've kind of just followed that passion and tried to create whatever I feel in a moment. It's not always one style. I like to play with different styles. I like to mix things up and combine various styles together to create something that sounds a little different. But yeah, that pretty much sums me up, guys. I go with the flow, whatever's in the moment, whatever I feel, whatever pours out of me in that moment.
Well, very good. This is Amanda Love, co-host of the Andy and Amanda Show here on Blog Talk Radio. Again, folks, our number is 515-605-9888. Feel free to join the conversation. Let's now listen to Amanda Love.
Wow, that,
that
is
was
wow.
surreal.
That is a hit.
Wow.
Thank
That's
you.
Wow.
Well done, Amanda. Well done. What a talent.
Thank you, darling. Thank
it's
you. That was a very surreal moment.
It's an honor to be on the show with you. I mean, really, really
Aww,
good. Really
thank
good.
You, sweetheart. Thank you.
Now that you need a nice big head, which you should have because you're so good.
really?
Some of you know that I was going to say George Bush. What's the name of the president? Donald Trump. Sorry, sometimes I get too much cone of beer. Listen, some of you know that Donald Trump called the Secretary of State of Georgia prior to the Georgia runoff election last week and tried to get him to come up with 11,180-some-odd votes, whatever it was. And we have the actual phone call of what happened. We have that phone call and what actually happened behind the scenes. Again, this is exclusive on the Andy and Amanda show. Let's take a listen to what happened in the real world. Here we go.
All I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes.
Please, sir, I want some more.
What? What? Ask for more?
11,780 votes.
What? Please, sir, I want some.
They will lay the blame on the one who named him.
Stupid, stupid, stupid. But actually, I am.
Yes.
That was really good.
Wasn't that good? That was good.
That was real good.
Come on, man. Come on. That was good. Come on.
And you know what? Your theatrical is very nice. I would like to see this show on a live play. That's how it's going. I would like to see somebody dancing in the background with Andy Theatrical. You know?
Oh, that was very good.
It was.
Thank
it was
you.
Very, very good.
Thank you very much. Thank you, folks. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Brought me back to the Wiz.
Chet, on. We're going to open up the phone lines here. Our VIP phone guy from Hawaii, our special guest, Chet. Wait a minute. Here we go. Let's see if we can get him on here. Here we go. Line.
And direct from Honolulu, Hawaii. It's Chet.
Yo, dude.
Hi, kids.
Hey, how you doing, darling?
Hey, Brad, how you doing?
You know what's really cool? I was watching the video during Amanda's song, her music video, and I love the way she does that twerking thing. That's amazing.
Wow, Amanda, tell me it isn't so.
Canale, really
oh my god.
Shit, where the hell did you get that
and,
from, my
And
God?
The chickens running around was a great touch, too. That was really funny.
Yeah, we didn't tell the people about the video that goes along with
the
that.
The video,
that,
yeah. Venus.
I like my hips to be held, and I like to, like, you know, so I can still move back and forth and, you know, work it, like, twerk it.
Oh, you thank
know,
you,
yeah.
Andy. Thank
I'm
you,
not
Andy.
I'm really trying to take all these compliments.
Oh, man. Thank you, Andy. You just made my night. Thank you, Andy.
Oh, he's got his
I've
hit.
Been waiting
he's
for my
baby
to come on all week.
I'm sure it's been a long weekend. It's been a long weekend, I know. I'm sure.
In the real
sure.
world, it sounded great.
It did sound We're going to hear another tune, too. We're going to hear another Amanda Love tune. Here too. We're gonna. What I want to do now is what was I gonna do? I'm gonna play which one here? I'll do a folky poetico schmetico tune here, performed live by this guy Andy. Let me look it up here. Andy Kim? No, Andy. Let me get that. Andy
Kimbell.
Here we go. Thank you. This is from the Mermaid Inn. Live from the Mermaid Inn. I think 2018 or something like 2017. This is Blue Moon, something like that. It says Blue Moon. What's in a Blue Moon? Let's take a listen. I don't know. Here we go.
Okay.
If you want, come on down soon.
Already got it.
Yes, I love you, Andy.
Already got it.
And I love you too, girlfriend. Hey, do you know what? We also have another recording I wanted to get to, which was we talked, I think it was on the Friday Free For All show, Free Flow on Friday last Friday, I think it was, about the old days. And Amanda brought up it was mostly in America where when people started kissing and messing around, they talked about going to first base, second base, and third base. And I did some work and dug deep into the archives. I wanted to find, because you know, all these allegations and so forth that were made about Donald Trump and Stormy Daniels and so forth. And I went way back into Trump's earlier days when he first started dating, and actually found some tapes of Trump practicing what he would do when he got into a car, took a girl out on a date, and how he would rehearse this. And I looked long and hard for this. And people wonder, Andy, what do you do in your spare time? Well, let me play this, what I found, Donald Trump here. Just discussing what he's going to do and how he's going to pursue a woman.
The first, the second, the third.
See? Yes. Thank you.
Oh, my God, Andy.
Heavens to chance.
Yes.
Want to hear it again?
Yes.
Of course. The first, the second, the third.
Wow.
It took me a long time. And then also, you know, after, you know, he was reported by AIDS. We should have talked about this earlier in the show too. AIDS have said that Donald Trump had a watch party while the riots were going on, enjoying seeing what he was watching on TV. This is reported by Trump aides. And I happened to get a recording of what was captured in that during that watch party as well. What's that recording? Here it is.
Now my revenge is complete.
He finally got it. The Empire Strikes Back.
I could just see somebody sat there with, you know, like they do in a chair with their legs crossed, you know, plotting with their fingers tapping against, you know, each other.
You
He had that kitty cat in his lap too.
Yes.
The cat.
That's right, like in Inspector Gadget,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Kind of licking his little fingernail.
Yeah.
Something like Emperor Ming.
Yeah. And you know what? Trump is also talking. Oh, did you hear about Trump declared Cuba what was it? He declared Cuba being an enemy of the country. You know, Biden was going to try to open up like what Barack Obama was doing before he left office, just trying to have some kind of normalized relations with our neighbor to the south, communist regime or not. And as a matter of fact, started opening up travel between the two countries, and Trump came in and closed that down. And of course, right before Trump leaves office, he declares Cuba an enemy of our state, which is going to further complicate things for Biden. Nothing he won't be able to get around. But you know, what else is he going to do? Here's what, and also Biden came in and further criticizing efficient alternative energies power. And we have a quote from his last press conference regarding what his answer would be to using wind as an energy source.
You know, we don't use wind. We actually use.
Wow. A lot of beans and rice.
You can run your kitchen stove on that.
I like that. Oh, yeah, I got to hear that more time. I got to hear that again. Oh, yeah, I like that.
You know, we don't use wind. We actually use.
Would you like your eggs straight up or over?
Not a ketchup.
Well, you must have been using a lot of hot sauce, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Coronavirus update, folks. We have 1,964 deaths. That was yesterday. I'm not sure what today is because yesterday. But I will say this, that we've come down almost half. We had record-breaking numbers. Not that every number is tragic. Of course it is. We know that. But we've had numbers in 4,500 deaths just a few days ago, and we're 1,964. That's the United States, by the way. And number 7 in the world is no longer the UK. UK is only number 5 in the world. They have 529 deaths. Of course, one death is too many. With total deaths in the UK of 81,960, total deaths in the United States of 385,249. In other news, Chad Wolf, the acting Secretary of Homeland Security, has resigned, making the third cabinet position has been vacated since the riots that everybody is pretty much saying that Trump inspired, and that's why so many people are quitting and resigning. He said originally that he was going to, you know, stay the course and hang in there, especially amid the widespread concerns of, security breaches during the inauguration coming up on the 20th. So, he said he was going to stay initially, but he in a letter to the department, he said that he was resigning due to the ongoing and meritless court rulings regarding the validity of my authority and acting secretary.
Right.
So he's out. And
okay.
I thought there won't be security during Biden's swearing-in. Of course there will be. There'll be an incredible security, probably the likes of we've never seen during an inauguration. But he's just another cabinet member that wears another one bites the dust. Down.
Very true, Andy.
The Homeland Insecurity Department.
Another one bites the dust. Yes. Anyway, that sums up the news. I mean, there's a lot. We can just keep going on and on, but that pretty much we know where things stand. In terms of the impeachment, let's just go over what the process is going to be. It'll probably be voted on Wednesday at the latest Thursday. And then, you know, Congress and people say, oh, he wasn't impeached. Trump wasn't impeached. Yes, he was. He wasn't convicted. He wasn't removed from office by the Senate. But Congress does the impeaching because the Senate, they decided whether to remove the president or not. But, you know, Trump was impeached, and he will undoubtedly be impeached again, barring Biden doesn't remove
him
beforehand. But it's something else, this guy. It's amazing.
Well, he certainly likes his title, so he's certainly going to gain a few from this experience. That's for sure.
Yeah. No doubt. But what happens Wednesday, voted even some, it was seconded. The motion has to be have to be seconded by at least one congressional member. It was seconded by 200 congressional members, including some Republicans. So it'll fly. It'll go. He will be the first president in history impeached twice. Then it goes to the Senate. Mitch McConnell will not reconvene the Senate till the 19th of January, one day before Biden gets sworn in. Now the question has been raised, can proceed with the Senate hearing regarding impeachment even if Trump leaves office? The answer to that question, folks, is yes, you can. I think it's a waste of time and energy. We have so many issues facing this country right now that Biden's going to have to tend to, some of which are immediately reversal of some of the policies that Trump has vacated from what Biden had put. What Biden and Obama had done and accomplished in their administration, that Trump reversed, and Biden's going to reverse the back the day of his swearing in. And we've got so many other things to talk about and to handle, including the distribution of the vaccines. And coronavirus, and 100 days of mask wearing. Is that going to be a national mandate? Is that going to be enforced? Is that something that's going to – I'm for it. You know, we'll see the numbers go way down. And also, regarding vaccinations, I don't know what they're doing in the U.K. I think, Amanda, you elaborated on this a little bit earlier in our show.
Yes.
I'm just saying, you know, we've got millions of doses that have not been released because you are supposed to get – two vaccinations separated by 6 weeks, I think it is, 5 weeks, really? Well, I might have that number wrong.
I think I think there was so many days, I think possibly 14 days originally, that there was meant to be like a gap. But the logic behind their thinking was that they would spread the chance of people surviving COVID by just giving out more of the first dose to a larger number of people than giving a smaller amount of people two doses within that time period. So, you know, they would enforce the second dose a little later on, but still giving them a 50-50 chance. So,
Right. So they're saying, let's get this thing into people's arms. Let's get this thing going. And there's been – Fauci came out and said, no, the testing, the science, the data shows – that here is the time frame between the two doses for this thing to be effective. And the only thing we can do is go by the science and the data. The other thinking is, you know, it's not that the second dose won't be effective. Let's at least be, and here's what we can do. We can manufacture at a much higher rate of acceleration in terms of the process of manufacturing this vaccine. So it won't be that much longer before we get that second dose rolling. It'll come right after. It won't make a difference. Fauci's saying, the science says this is what we have. The numbers say here's how it's most effective. So how that's going to pan out, we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. I don't even – you know, Amanda, you and I talked about this months ago. You and I
we
both
did.
Said here we go. That I don't know if I'm going to get it. You said, I don't know if I am either, but the more I'm seeing and reading and believing and thinking that we can, even though we are vaccinated, you can still get infected. It just won't do anything to you if you are.
Yeah.
And if you're infected, that means you can spread it.
Yes.
So maybe you will get vaccinated.
Here's some direct information on the vaccines.
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
The Pfizer evidently requires two doses 21 days apart, and they stipulate they should be 21 days. So on the 21st or 22nd day, you got to get the second dose. And the gap between the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine is 28 days.
Okay.
And then they're saying the protective efficacy of the vaccine is achieved 7 days after the second dose.
Yes.
This is information that I don't think is getting out there.
I think it should be.
Yeah.
Leave it to the Andy and Amanda show.
And
thank
should.
You, Chet.
Yeah. Yeah.
It should.
I agree with that.
It should. So, Chet, I'm going to ask you to repeat that one more time. Can you repeat that again?
Okey-dokey. According to this source, the Pfizer vaccine requires two doses 21 days apart. And the suggested gap with the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine is 28 days. That's the one that doesn't require the ultra cold temperatures.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the protective efficacy of the vaccine is achieved 7 days after the second dose, folks. Second dose, not the first. Second dose.
So it is interesting. I don't know about you guys, but I've always been a firm believer in the morning after pill.
Mm-hmm. The morning after the second dose, right? It's a little late.
You know, 7 days, 21 days. I'm like the morning after. Know what I'm saying?
Seven days, half November.
Yeah. 30 days, that's, something like that. I remember that one.
I just don't think there's enough information. Well, maybe there is enough information and people are just not going to those sources. Chet, may I ask, darling, where you got the information from?
This is a site called thehealthsite.com.
Okay.
Health news. Let me see if they have an about here. Let's see an about. They quote, let me see, they're quoting a doctor. Oh, this is from India, I think.
Really? One of our listeners.
But I've heard Dr. Mutha, senior
consultant microbiology at Sri Balaji Action Medical Institute in New Delhi.
Okay.
That's not a
so those walls have to be guarded by men with guns.
They do.
Yeah.
Or women.
Yes, they really do.
They do.
You can't find me.
Nope. Well, you know, but, you know, we know what they say about that. We'd rather... much more than I
like men. Yeah, this is true.
Yeah.
and he doesn't like men very much.
No.
And he certainly doesn't respect women.
Mm. No. Hey, you know what time it is, folks?
It's howdy doody time.
I am Dracula, and I welcome you to my house.
Whoa.
Yes.
I saw the last howdy doody show, by the way.
Did you really?
I really did. It was in...
The real one.
I think the real one, and it was actually... It lasted a year longer in Canada, so I saw it on a Canadian TV station. And in that last show was the only time Clarabelle spoke.
Wow.
Clarabelle the clown said, goodbye. Real tearjerker. Well, I still
who
get
was pain. Clarabelle? Do you remember who she was? What, didn't
Clarabelle the clown.
Yeah, but the person who played Clarabelle the clown.
I don't remember. Who was it?
See if you can find that for us real quick. I remember. I'm just going back because I remember. I don't remember Howdy Doody. You know.
And there was Princess Summer, Summer, Spring, Winter, Fall, or Summer, whatever.
That's Summer Wind. Da, do, 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 do.
Oh, yeah. Let's see.
It was somebody who became something. Godzilla.
Buffalo Bob Smith. Good times.
They became something. I remember that.
First one to play. Oh, you're gonna love this. First to play Clarabelle was Bob Keeshan, who later became Captain Kangaroo.
Of course, I can't believe that. Whoa.
And then
I remember
then
Captain
it was,
Kangaroo.
Then it was Robert Nicholson. And someone named Lou Anderson was the third and last person to play Clarabelle.
I remember this. I remember the show being around. I don't remember the show. Do you know? Did I tell you? I've had. You know, I tried to get lucky this weekend. You know, and get some excitement going. I was very, very unable to for that to happen. So because of that,
you didn't go to the website.
Yes, it just wasn't working. You know what I'm saying?
Andy, you must have went to the website.
So I wanted to talk about the new Andy and Amanda show. Hey, Cornell, can you introduce the Andy Demanda Love Show like you were the other day on the phone?
Sure, no problem. Live with the Andy and Amanda Love Show. Can you dig it, baby? Can you dig it?
Yes, but that's for those people who, like, you know, kind of sound like me.
Andy, that used to be me
when
I was
vaccine for that.
Andy, I wish I could go back to those days.
Oh my! Yeah, I wish I didn't. No, but really, we're going to do a love and relationship show. We'll be dressing all sorts of things. So you'll stay tuned for more
dressed
information.
In all kinds of outfits.
I was going to say, did you just say dressing all kinds of things or addressing all kinds of things?
I thought he said dressing all types of addresses. I was like, huh?
Kinds of things love related.
Love.
Yeah.
Love.
Love.
Should be a lot of fun, boys.
Three syllables.
It will be fun. We might even be giving up one of our shows for that show. We're figuring out how we're going to do that exactly. But stay tuned for that. We'll be starting that soon, probably the next month or shortly thereafter. But as that comes together and we line up our guest panelists and actually we're going to have some folks who. You know, kind of know what they're doing in that area, as special guests on our show from time to time.
Speaking of guests, Andy, Wednesday, we have a guest, don't we?
Yes.
Yes.
Is that still going ahead? Yeah, we still got guests.
We got guests. Did you say guests or guests?
We have
I say guests.
Guests.
Hey, you know what it is. We from Philadelphia. We have our own language.
Yeah, I remember I was playing one time and somebody asked me how the gas was, and I said, had a little indigestion this morning, but it's fine now. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, but we're lining up right now two former Delta flight crew members, Captain and First Officer. Husband and wife who've been flying around the world the last 6 years, recently retired, Margaret and Joe Fahan, the Flying Fahans. I'll be confirming that with Joe. And the only reason I'm a little bit hesitant, as a matter of fact, I'm going to be very hesitant. I'm going to announce right now we're going to delay that. I'll tell you why. Because we're shortening our program. Actually, you would never know it. Are we? No, I guess we're not. We're going to try to shorten our program. But Wednesday is the day that the House should vote to impeach the president. That should happening Wednesday, and there might be some members of Congress. I'm not sure what's going to go down Wednesday, ladies and gentlemen. I really don't know, but stand by. There should be some breaking news, so I'm going to reserve Wednesday as a possibility to have Margaret and Joe. When Joe texted me saying, hey, the holidays are done, they're the time, let's get on and do this thing. We've been talking about it for a while. Wednesday might be a good time. But little did we know that there was to be right on the Capitol and the president was going to be impeached, and that date of the confirmation of that impeachment was going to potentially be on Wednesday. So that might be a real busy news day. We might have a whole lot of news to talk about regarding that, which might prohibit the time to provide for Joe and Margaret. I want to give them a lot of time to talk about flying, about traveling around the world, about being a captain on a wide-body jet that carries almost 400 people flying across the Atlantic Ocean. We're gonna have a lot of time with Joe and Margaret, and I want to really give them their due time and talk about their travels. And Joe and I go way back. Joe and I were pals together. We flew commuter airlines back in the 70s together and had just such a great time. Maybe we'll talk about it. It's something we couldn't talk about when he was a captain for Delta for obvious reasons, but now that he's no longer employed as a pal, we can probably talk about it.
He can talk about buzzing the tower.
And
747.
Yeah, people ask you all sorts of, it's really funny. it doesn't happen so much anymore. I spent a lot of my career as a pilot, and I'm still very much in aviation. I still keep my flight instructor certificate current and so forth. And people used to ask me all the time. As a matter of fact, you don't anymore. I wonder what's different. But people used to ask me about being a pilot. One of the first questions they would ask, the first questions was, did you ever join the Mile High Club?
Oh, God, that question gets thrown around a lot, right?
all the time. But now when I talk about...
Well, now they lock you up in a cockpit. You can't do that. Unless, of course, there are two genders involved in the cockpit.
Yeah. Well, you know, even if there was one gender today, I'm telling you,
this is very true.
Well, there's a solo. You could be a solo in the Mile High Club, I guess.
I can tell you one story out of many, but I'll tell you one. That I was flying freight over at night in a paper Cheyenne. Was a Navajo twin engine jet prop, turbo prop. No, I think it was a Navajo or Cheyenne. I forget which plane it was. Anyway, at night, I was on flying for a company that was on-demand charter and a lot of freight for General Motors. We used to pick up bumper, automotive bumpers. I think it was Newark. We'd fly out of Philly. We'd go to Newark and have a whole bunch of bumper stock in the back of the plane. We'd fly to Lansing, Michigan, unload, and then the plane would be empty on the way back to Newark and then on to Philadelphia. And so it was single pilot operation, which would mean that we were IFR, which means it's flying capability with one pilot in the flight deck. We weren't required to have two pilots up there. So I would often ask a friend or a girlfriend to come along, and on the load manifest, that person would be a cargo handler. That's how I would say that's who that person was. In case anything happened, the person in the right seat would be a cargo cargo. It just occurred to me, Chad.
Right.
Holy crap. Anyway, so on the way back, the plane's empty. I just remember going back with this date, you know, and so there's nobody at the flight control. There's nobody there. But it's an autopilot. And the speaker's on. Like, you know, we were on autopilot. We were IFR. We went from point A to point B. I was very much aware and keenly aware of what was going on in the airplane, obviously. But we just wanted to go hang around the back. You know, just go hang around the back just for a couple minutes anyway. And I heard air traffic control calling my plane. I was like, wait, they calling us? Wait. Got to get back up front. Wait. But I just remember that date and that time because it was kind of funny at the time. You know, obviously, nothing can come from safety, obviously. But it was just very fun. That's like I said.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
The flight was empty for a couple of minutes. And I remember air, you know, coming to the speakers on the airplane, whatever the flight was, Chicago Center. Are you on the frequency? I'm like, fuck. Wait a minute. Yeah. Hold on a minute. Yeah, I'm here. I'm right with you. I'm here. Yeah. Now, what? Say it. Yeah. But anyway.
Say again.
Things again that we didn't do anything. I want to be very clear about this. Things that we would never, you know, safety. Nothing would come close to even compromising the margin of even thinking about safety, let alone safety itself. That being said, we had a lot of fun back then. Things that we got away with, you could never get away with post 9/11. Things have changed dramatically in the aviation business, and that's one of the things we're going to talk about with Joe and Margaret when they come on the show. In flying and aviation, and maybe Joe and I will reminisce just a little bit. I think we probably do more reminiscing about things that we did on the ground, not what we did in the air that were so crazy back then. But anyway,
my favorite moment was the day that I was hanging out at the flight school, and where I rented airplanes, and this guy showed up in a P-51.
Wow.
And he gave a ride to the secretary who worked at the flight school, and they got permission from the tower, and he did a high-speed low pass right over the runway in P-51. I was standing right next to it when they started that thing up. It was just amazing.
400-mile-an-hour engine airplane.
2,500 horsepower, 12-cylinder engine, Rolls-Royce.
Wow.
Amazing.
Yep. was a guy who was director of operations at the airline that Joe and I flew for. His name was Jack Shaver. I heard he recently died. And he was a P-51 stunt aerobatic airshow pilot. He owned a bright yellow P-51.
Yeah.
And he gave people just occasionally. Jack Shaver, that was his name. I think he's still on – you can look him up on the internet and see maybe some of his videos. I don't really know. But he was the director of flight operations for our airline. I think he was the guy who hired me, if I'm mistaken. Was he? I think he's the guy who actually hired. God, little do you know what he's getting into.
I think the guy told us it burned 90 gallons an hour.
Really?
Wow.
90 gallons of aviation fuel an hour.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
I like that.
Wow.
Listen, guys, we're going to...
Four and a half gallons of miles per gallon at full speed.
Wow. Yeah, it was a 400-mile-an-hour airplane, single-engine turboprop, right?
Yeah, I think that was probably the top speed, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cruise at about 350. 300.
Mm.
Beautiful sound, though.
So for those who are wondering, 350 miles an hour is about how fast a Cessna Citation jet flies, a twin-engine Citation jet, a business jet,
wow.
just to put that in perspective. For
okay.
Hey, Andy. And,
yeah.
The team, that's how fast my ex-wife hit me with for child support.
Bad I timing. Promised you nothing.
Yes.
And that's what you got.
Nothing.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
But until then, please look upon this house as your own.
Because we're going to be rapping, folks. And
now that's what my second ex-wife got. You got the house.
Again.
I promised you nothing.
Yes. Yeah, we have to ask, you know, we had to...
Why have you come here?
Because we had nothing better to do. Simply had nothing better to do.
Yeah.
It's our responsibility.
Yeah.
It is.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, you see.
In another exciting show, you know, we've been trying to get out of town, but we just can't, you know, so we're just like addicted to this thing. And I want to thank, well, you know, our listenership is starting to spike up again. It was kind of flattening out. We were gaining listeners, but not at the rate we were. And very recently, it started to spike up again. Like we're getting back to the number of which we were increasing a few months ago. But we are starting to climb again. That plateauing is starting to go the right direction again, with pretty sharp increases in listeners around the world, the United States, and especially in the UK. And we want to thank all of you listeners, because we know what you'd rather be doing.
On top writing.
I know.
Yeah.
Andy, they may be doing that whilst listening, for all you know.
Oh, guys. Let me think about that for a second.
That's how fast the clock is moving.
Yeah, right.
Go ask China.
Yeah, right. TikTok, only 5 minutes. That's all you can give me? No.
Can I have a refund?
Oh!
5 minutes and our pumpkin turns into a chariot.
Yes.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, it's a disaster.
It is a disaster. That would
disaster.
I forgot what I was going to say. I know I was going to say something.
Time for Amanda to go to sleep.
Something about the increased ridership of the Andy and Amanda show.
Tick tock.
Great. It's great news.
What would happen if we just played that?
I'm winding down.
What would happen if we played that for an entire show, like you tune into the podcast and that's all you heard for like a half hour?
Oh my God.
That would be the audio vision of the Christmas Yule log.
You would be. We should ask our listeners what's their favorite jingle on a show.
I know what it'd be. I know what it'd be already.
It'd probably be TikTok.
I think it'd be the girl wants her head held.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right. Probably would be.
That's Dr. Ruth in her early days, I think, right?
That was another good one. Dr. Ruth was a good one. Yeah, I need more Dr. Ruth. We got to see if she has to say, and maybe we'll bring Dr. Ruth on. She's 90-some years old, but still going at it.
I don't know how.
You know, as opposed to me, here's much younger.
That's Dr. Ruth all night long. Who's the person that's going to get up on top of her? That's all I want to know.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I think my thing will be like, dong, dong. Oh, my God. Sonny, let me take off my clothes. I'm like, keep them on.
Right now?
No, I'm talking about Dr. Ruth. If Dr. Ruth got naked. Dr. Ruth got naked for you, would you be doing, doing, doing?
Oh, I thought you were talking about you. We were going to sign off, but if you want to take your clothes off, we wait for you.
Oh, hell no. We all got our clothes off.
I haven't. I just want to point that out.
Okay. Pause.
Yeah. Are you going to take off clothes?
Don't ask me. Ask China that question.
Yes. Hey, Andy.
Yes.
Andy, I wonder if Dr. Ruth took all her clothes off, would you say ding, ding, ding?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Good answer.
Yes, you bet. You bet. Hey, listen, folks. We've gone past. You know, we've had just so much more excitement than we could stand here. And more fun, and we've exceeded our allotted time, but they haven't kicked us off yet, so we'll do them the favor and kick ourselves off here. I think what we'll do is talk about Wednesday's show. It's going to be a kind of an interesting program because a lot of it's going to hinge on what, again, Congress decides to do over the next few days and the impeachment of the President of the United States, the second one. So stand by from that. I'm sure you folks will be, you know, keenly aware of what's going on by tuning to your own news sources, and we will be standing by as well.
Yes.
Remember one thing?
Oh, doggy for sure.
You know, work on that over the next couple of days.
Woof.
Work on that over the next couple of days. And what we'll do is we're going to close out with some maybe some more music. You think?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
We're going to close out with a song, improvised song. It's an Andy Kimball tune. It went number 4 in some of the blues charts nationally. Indie blues charts in 2004. The rap artist, Joe Stone, who was the founder of the rap group called Black Street 21. Came into the studio and laid down some vocals on a guitar track that I was just having fun with, and it became a tune, unbeknownst to me. We're going to play that tune for you now. It is Andy Kimball's song with Joe Stone singing it and the bass player named Doc James White on bass and Kyle Ober playing harmonica, and I forget who else is on the tune, but it's all done in my absence. But anyway, here is Andy Kimball doing Red Hot Blues, and that's going to sign us off of today's show. On behalf of Amanda Love, on behalf of Cornell Butler, Chet, thank you again for joining our show from Hawaii. Everybody say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye, everyone. Love ya.
Love ya.
Take care now, folks. Thanks for listening.
Aloha.
Well, well. Hey. Welcome.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
like a hot summer morning. Oh, food to eat. Thinking about my baby. She's so sweet. She's gone. I can't wait to lose. This is what we call.
Have you heard the news?